to just praise the Lord this morning for God in His great mercy sending His Son to this world to redeem us. Whenever we consider the darkness, the blindness that's in the world, and how deceived men are, and they don't even know it. And how easy it is for us to get tripped up in our own little worlds and forget where we were brought from. And then to stumble and begin to murmur and complain about our poor situation. This man that we visited with yesterday, he asked, he said, "What do you do when you get discouraged?" And I said, "I remember that I chose this path. It wasn't thrust upon me. I chose it. I chose to follow Jesus. And everyone that's walking in the light chose to walk this path." We chose to because He is worthy. In Revelation, where it talks about Christ, said that worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. It's just, whenever we consider that, it's just, what a wonderful thing that God would deliver us from this world while we were yet His enemies. And as we talk with people and we see people and we visit people and we see so many of them that labor so hard in deception, in falseness, and defending it because that's all they see, and try to convince them that there's more to see if they would but open their eyes. Gets weary trying to convince someone that there's much more if they just lift up their eyes off of themselves and rise up to faith, to walk by faith. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Sometimes we just forget to take time to praise Christ for what He did for us. He didn't have to leave the glories of heaven. He chose to. He chose to leave being God and to take upon Himself the flesh of mankind and come into this world knowing fully well that they were going to hate Him and reject Him. And yet He came anyway, knowing full well that very few would listen to Him. I was just reading in 2 Chronicles, part of my reading, from Kings to Chronicles, Samuel. It talks about all the chronicles or the histories of the kings. And as each king took his throne or took his place, God shows us where their heart was. They show us where their heart was by what they began to do. If they found the people of God in disarray and the kingdom all a mess, some of them had a heart towards God and they began to take away the evil places. They began to put away the evil people. And they had to clean things up. And every time I read about one of those, it's a happy time. You read about a king that starts out and he's zealous and on fire for the Lord and he begins to fix things. And then many times after that king lives his life, the Lord goes back and recounts where his heart is. Sometimes, it's still where it was when he started. Faithful. But many times, it's lifted up and begins to walk in its own strength. I just want to read here one story. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 1. So Abihail slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He started out his walk, and things were peaceful. And sometimes that's the way it is with us. Some people start out their walk with God, and it starts out on a peaceful note. Asa walked with God for 10 years. There was peace in the land. Others start out and their life's a battle from the very get-go. We all have a different walk. But we all have the same God if we're following Him in truth. And Asa did that which is good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Isn't that a blessing? Whenever I read these things and I read about these kings, it's just, and Asa did that which was right in the sight of God, the Lord his God. It's just an encouragement. For he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. He went to work to keep things peaceable. He took away the bad things and cut down the groves. People lose sight. They think religion is just some kind of thing you just have faith in. You just pretend that things are all right or you're saved or whatever you want to pretend. But Jesus gave the example of farming. We have the example in the Old Testament. Whenever there was trouble, there was sin, the prophets didn't come and the kings didn't come with some happy-go-lucky message, some pampering story, some reaching out in friendship. When there was groves, they went up there with saws and axes, and they cut them down. John the Baptist said, "The axe is laid to the root of the tree." Jesus talked about farming. You don't plant seeds with kindness. You plant seeds by tearing up the ground, ripping the roots out of the ground, and then turning the soil over and busting it up so that it can make a nice place for a seed to land. They don't realize that prophets, they came in work clothes. Talk about John the Baptist. He lived a rough life because he was tearing down and ripping out the bad stuff, chopping weeds. Even whenever you no-till ground today, you go in there and spray it and kill everything out there so that the little seed will have a fresh start. And it don't happen overnight. That's one of the greatest misconceptions about the gospel, is that you can go plant a seed and hope to have fruit in 15 minutes of being kind to someone. That'll never work. It takes the sword of the Word of God to cut through the hardness and the wickedness of men's hearts, to clean up the garbage that's all around them so that the seed can get down there to some good soil, if there is any, in these dry, wicked hearts. That they can get down there where maybe there's a little spark of faith that'll cause that seed, like a grain of mustard seed, to die and then sprout a little bit of life out of it. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. That grain has got to go down into the ground and it's got to have contact with some soil and it takes some moisture, and that seed dies. And out of that death sprouts a little green sprout. In a soybean, the first two leaves are that seed being ripped apart and then pushed up out of the ground. That's the first two leaves that come from a soybean, is the two halves of the soybean, because it's been split in half. And that becomes the first two leaves. The seed's got to be put in there. It's a brutal thing. It's got to die. The sword. Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword." It's interesting. Peace is where everything abides together. It's like a cornerstone. He's using that reference of a stone, an unhewn stone. That stone's all in one piece. And the sword comes and busts off a chunk of that stone. How would you break a stone real gently and kindly with a sword? You don't do it. The swords were the tool that they used to chisel these stones into what they needed to be made. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace in this world. I came to bring a sword. And if we're not ready to live a life, a live of faith, that starts out being broke away and separated from everything that's dear, it's going to be tough to survive. He took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. One of the first messages we preached whenever we got into this building was removing the rubbish. In Nehemiah, he was going to be rebuilding the temple, and he got over there and here it was in ruins. And before he can start building the beautiful temple, he had the permission to go build it from the king. But when he got there, here was a burnt out old ruins. What they had to do first was start removing the rubbish, it says. Clearing the brush. Burning the trash that's been piled up all around it. They had to go to work and start cleaning the house. They couldn't go just telling all the nice things. I think that's one of the biggest problems in this world today, is people have picked up a Bible when they had no business having one. Because an unregenerated man picking up a Bible and starting to read it, in his own selfishness, is going to find nothing but the good things. Whenever people are preaching the gospel and they want everybody to make nice and make friends with everyone and they want to present the good things to them, all they're doing is casting their pearls before swine. And yes, Jesus called them swine. He said, give not that which is holy to the dogs. Can you imagine Jesus calling you a dog? Or calling you a swine? I would say there would be some people that got offended. Their poor little pride got hurt. Because they were unworthy of the Word of God. Because they rejected hearing the truth. They didn't want to hear about the judgment day. They didn't want to hear about where they were wrong. All they want to hear about is the good things. That's casting pearls before hogs. If you remember, hogs and dogs were about as low as you could get. During that time, to be a swine or a dog was the lowest form of vileness to people. And yet here Jesus said to his apostles, don't give your good things to those dogs. And he was talking about people. Christ rejecting, self-loving, God-hating sinners who had no heart for God, no desire for God, no repentance, no fear of God. They were dogs. This modern gospel that goes about and just trying to feel the pain of these poor, rebellious sinners. who have no desire for God and are offended whenever these Christians, so-called, just get so upset when some rebellious sinner comes up and out of his heart spews vileness because he hears the Word of God. And they start crying, oh, look how they've been turned away because they heard the truth. They don't know God. They don't want to know God. Because they've been given all these precious things right in the middle of their groves, right in the middle of the altars of the strange God in the high places, and the images, and their groves, and they're trying to plant their seeds right in the middle of all of that. And it will not do anything but give people an occasion to blaspheme and turn from God. But Asa did that which is right and good in the eyes of the Lord his God. And he went to work. He got his axe out, and his saw out, and his big hammer out, and started busting up a few things. And he took away the altars. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, and the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah 300,000, and out of Bethlehem and Benjamin, that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000. You know what 1,000,000 is? Here, the children of Israel had a big army. But then, out of Ethiopia came an army of 1,000,000 people. You know, we think we're doing big things today. The government does when they send 50 or 60 or 70,000 troops into a country. This is an army of 1,000,000 men. That's bigger than the army of the United States. And they came up against this nation of Israel. 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and they come into Marasah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephtha in Marashah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us. O Lord our God, for we rest on Thee, and in Thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, Thou art our God. Let not man prevail over us. He was going up against an army of 1,000,000 men. Did he get afraid? He might have. You know what that did? That drove him to his face. Because he knew there was a God. And he trusted in that God to deliver him through it. He had faith. Real faith. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Notice what he didn't do. He didn't just sit back and say, God, you take care of it. It's all yours. I'm not going to do anything. Nor did he say, well, our army's big enough. We'll just take them and whip them. No, he saw the battle out there. And he said, Lord, this is what I've got. And I'm going to put everything I've got into what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know it's not going to be enough. Then if you don't give us the victory and if you don't help us, it's all going to be a failure. Too many times we get on one side of that or the other and we miss faith. We miss laying it out before God and saying, whether with many or with few, Lord, the army, the battle is yours, but I'm going to fight, knowing that you're going to help me. Let not man prevail against us. So the Lord smote the Egyptians before Asa and before Judah. And the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gar. And the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. And they carried away much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar. For the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. There was a victory. You don't fight battles with negotiations. You fight battles to win them. And when we go with the Word of God, it's to go to win the battles. Though there's a mighty host against us. We go to win. Turn over to Matthew chapter 16, Chronicles 16. Let's read on here at 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judea and Benjamin, The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. And if ye seek Him, He will be found of you. But if ye forsake Him, He will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found of them. Humbling themselves. And seeking God. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard those words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altars of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together in Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Isn't that a blessing? And whatsoever and whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with the trumpet, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with their heart, and had sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. They sought the Lord with all their heart. And also concerning Maacha, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in the grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it in the brook Kidron. That was his mother. He probably offended her. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought to the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and he himself had dedicated silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, the king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramoth, to the intent that he might let none go or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, and there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. They smote Ayon and Dan and Abelmaim and the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the troop or the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand." He sought out his own means. Instead of turning to God like he did the time before, he schemed out his own plan to fix things. He got his own ideas. And the seer came to King, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand." He didn't win this battle. He didn't conquer like he did before. They chased down the Ethiopians, destroyed them, took their spoil. This time, the king got away. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God's eyes are looking throughout the whole earth. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. To show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Remember when he started? He had peace. And when a host did come up against him, he whipped them and there was peace again. There was battles came. But because he trusted in the Lord, they won that battle and went on. But when he began to trust in his own flesh, his own strength, his own ideas, his own ways, the battles came and stayed. Trust in the Lord and he'll deliver you from the battle you're in. There'll be a little time of rest once in a while. There'll be more battles, but there'll be peace when you win the battle. But when he devised his own way out of the battle, tried to win the battle, from then on there was wars. This is what the prophet told Asa. Guess what? Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Asa got mad because somebody told him the truth. And he began to oppress others. He got offended because someone told him what he was doing was wrong. God told Abel, sin is at the door. Or Cain told Cain, sin is at the door. The next movie made was Killing Asa. A man, you probably heard us talking about him a couple of years ago, that came, and his father was a, Gary was his name, and his father was a missionary, and he told of all the hypocrisies that were there, and he began to understand some of the things we were teaching him. He listened for a while. Then last year he came back, and here he had left off. He disagreed with us. He didn't want to accept what we were teaching completely. So he went back. Next thing we knew, he was a missionary with his dad. Friday night, he walked by and he had a 12-pack or a 6-pack or he had a box of alcohol with him. Walking down the street, he didn't even stop to talk to us. Gave one little glance to see if we noticed him. Takes faith to believe God. If you don't have faith, you go downhill. Rely on the Lord. He's looking for someone to rely on Him. His eyes are going all over the world looking for someone who'll believe. Just disappointing. Asa what a blessing he started out. Then he turned to his own ways. So many times I read these Chronicles. These, boy, you just start out so happy. And then the next thing, sometimes you start out, it's just terrible the way the king started out. And then by the end of it, looks like they repented. There's not very many of them that were just faithful all the way through. But there were some. We can make it. Got a little poem here David gave me a couple of weeks ago. It's just, people are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone can destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people may often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. That's a blessing. It's not us against you, or you against them, or them against us. It's between you and God anyway. Wise advice from Mother Teresa. Do it anyway.